Welcome to Amber Energy, the podcast. Each episode, we talk about what it takes to be the best entrepreneur you can be and how to take your business or your client's business to the next level when it comes to graphic design, branding, and so much more. Let's get started. Hello, and welcome to the next episode of Amber Energy, the podcast. I am your host, Rachel Sedwick. I'm joined by my amazing co-host, Amber Jacobs of Amber Design. And today we have a special guest. Her name is Disha Pegu. So Disha works for a company called Atarim, and it is a website project delivery system based in London. She manages Atarim's community and social media using her background in project management and marketing. She's a social scientist, a compassionate marketer, and a huge supporter of diversity inclusion everywhere. So hello and welcome, Disha. We're so excited to have you on this podcast. I'll get into the topic that we're going to cover in a little bit. But first, in our podcast, we like to start with a little break the ice highlight of the week. So I'm going to have Amber go first with her highlight from the last 7 days.
Oh, last 7 days. So much has happened in 7 days. Goodness gracious. All right. So within the last 7 days, I soft launched a nonprofit called Tutus and Tequila. You can go to tutusandtequila.org to find out more. I launched a newsletter that includes a fun blog article about script logos, updating my portfolio, and I got some really great prospects on the line that I hope to close on. So I've had a really good 7 days.
Yeah, absolutely. You have. I have a similar highlight was also the launch of Tutus and Tequila. I'm the operations coordinator for Amber Design. And so I've been helping a lot with the behind the scenes stuff with Tutus and Tequila. And it's a nonprofit that is the subject and the charities that it's going to go towards very near and dear to my heart. So I am just really excited to see that finally come off the ground, and we're going to keep working on it. And I'm excited to get it out to more people. So, Disha, how about you? What is your highlight from the last week?
My highlight from the last week. Well, I have been into 3 podcasts in 3 days.
Wow.
this is my third one in a row. And I got to meet a lot of new people from amazing like sort of companies, including HubSpot for the summit. Yes. So it's been quite a week. So far.
Absolutely. And they've been podcasts on all different subjects, right?
Yes. It's quite a variety of subjects, including like messaging in the community and talking about support on a free forum, technical stuff like that, and fun stuff like today.
Awesome.
Well, and like your conference, like your summit is only like 2 weeks away. Like no big deal.
No big deal.
We got this.
Tell it to my inner self.
One day in your inner mantra for the week. I got this. I got this.
Well, that's a good segue. So we can start talking about our topic today. The topic is fighting the hashtag working moms. So Amber and I did a podcast a little while back about balancing CEO life with mom life. And it's funny because we originally were talking about titling it something like working moms or hashtag working moms. Yes, that was me. And then Amber reminded me that, like, you know what? I hate that hashtag. We need to name it something different because everyone should be working, right? Like it shouldn't be a weird thing that I'm a mom who works. So that's kind of what our subject today is about. And we're going to deep dive into being a mom and raising kids, which is something that Amber is pretty good at so far. She's a mom of 2 and she owns her own business, just started a nonprofit and is doing all sorts of other things too. So why don't we talk first about what does the hashtag working moms really mean? Who wants to start?
Well, for me, well, what it's supposed to mean, right, is that you're a mom and you work, right? You're a working mom. But like, that's what it means. But like, I really don't like having that adjective added to my title. Like, you don't hear men running around saying hashtag working dad.
Working dad.
It's like presumed or assumed. And like, even if you are your career woman who goes to a 9-to-5 or owns her own business, or whether you're a VP of home operations, like, you're still working. Like, what the F does that really mean? Like, do you mean like, yeah, I drop my kids off at preschool or daycare or school, and then I work 9-to-5 and bust my butt, come home, do all the activities? Or, oh, I'm a VP of home operations and I cook and clean and take care of children and entertain them and play with them and bring them all the activities. And then, oh, by the way, I also take care of clean the house and do dinner and grocery shop and all the things. Like that's work too. So it's like, what does that even freaking mean? And like, why is it important that we have to use it like as women? Like, that just seems like a silly notion to me.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts, Disha?
Well, firstly, I want to say that I'm not a mom yet, but I have a lot of reflection to this topic, seeing my mom and the culture where I come from, where it's pretty conservative towards women, and also that I'm living, I have experienced a lot of culture, and I can at least give a reflection of what I think the concept. So working moms, I think the background comes from the concept, the very like ancient primitive concept of women should, women and money making as something like a breadwinner is very new to most of the culture, at least in most of like the conservative culture. No, it might not be in the West, but at least in countries like India or somewhere else.
It's the history of genders. And there are some cultures that are very like still into that like more traditional or historical roles, gender roles. So like history, right? You know, men by biology have been the fighters and the protectors and the earners, right? And historically, you know, women have been more of the nurturers and the home givers and carers, just because of the nature of our stature in biology, as far as like our strengths and like, you know, kind of like gender differentiators. And I think, you know, women, our cultures have come a long ways from centuries before. We're talking eons of centuries of like sort of these like traditional gender roles where they've been separated. And as we've come further and further within the last 200 years, even 100 years, you know, the roles that we play have sort of starting to like fuse together and blend. And I think it's just the progression of progress. And I think that's just kind of like where we're headed, right? Like the gender roles are blended, and that's kind of happening, especially in Western culture over the last 100 years, like that need for dual income to support families, that need that both partners need to work in order to support the lifestyles and things that people want in first world countries. And I think that's sort of like that basic history of genders and how it's sort of transforming over the last, definitely over the last like 50 years.
And coming back to your point, like how is working, if a woman is not employed, how her work inside the house is like kind of disregarded, and it doesn't come under the hashtag of working mom.
I know.
It's very controversial, and it needs to be discussed more often, I guess, because the housewives, the typical housewives, they go through a lot, right?
Oh my gosh, it's insane. If you were to hire a nanny for that role, think about it, like how much that would cost.
Yeah, like, exactly. And let the men do the household chores for one day and let the women just sleep and relax. I think the house will turn into like a big sty.
Well, there's not that same respect for VP of home operation moms, because like they just think, oh, you're just at home and like, oh, it's
so easy.
And like all this stuff. And it's like, whoa, time out. Like, how about you spend a day, you know, wiping butts, feeding children, entertaining them, cleaning the house, meal planning, prepping food, cleaning up after the kids, tidying the house, and oh yeah, I'm gonna have dinner on the table too for everybody. Like, that is hard.
Not have time
somebody to do that work. That's expensive. That's the reason why some women stay home to take care of those chores for the house instead of work at a 9-to-5 job because they're staying home to do that rather than like paying a nanny or paying daycare to do all that.
Yeah. And these are this unpaid labor, which it takes lives, a life of a woman, right? She has dedicated a life to take care of the household and the children, and it's unpaid. That's why it's disregarded, because money is, money talks, you know, the more you get paid, the more relevant you become.
And well, yeah, it's power, disregarded, and it's unfair, because it's like, well, honey, if I was to give you an invoice for all of the work that I do, or what it would cost me to like pay somebody else to do this, it would be a substantial chunk of money. Like they call them au pairs, right? So if we were to hire an au pair here in our house, like you might as well hire them as an employee to your household, because it's expensive.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yes.
You also have to consider like how much the mom is giving up by being just that stay-at-home mom, VP of home operations. You know, you're giving, you're alone all day. You're not getting to really socialize with anyone unless you're doing things with other moms. And that takes a toll on someone's mental health, not to mention, right, you know, the possibility when, you know, a lot of moms have to go through postpartum depression. And sometimes it's gone in a couple months after the baby comes, but sometimes it lasts years. And,
For sure. Postpartum depression and OCD is like not a flippin' joke. I went through two pregnancies and two postpartums, and neither one of them were a tea party.
And then you have to think about like when your kids grow up, as they grow up, problems don't just go away once, you know, your baby stops teething, or your kid starts to talk, or he goes to school. Like, you are responsible as a mom and as a parent in general to like make sure your kid doesn't grow up to be a psychopath or, you know, a bad person.
A well-rounded, good nurtured person, right? So that's obviously the goal for any parent. And that's obviously a, you know, both parents, you know,
play. But if you're the one that's tasked with staying home with the kid all day.
Oh, for sure. Right? Like you're under a lot of pressure. Like they are sort of a reflection of your parenting. And your parenting style. And so there's a little bit of pressure to you as a mom, if you're the constant person that's, you know, their education or their personality, like what they do in public reflects your job.
Yeah.
Yeah. And women have to prove so much being a homemaker, being a, I mean, if she has a business or a career, that's another topic altogether, because it's like put it to test. If you're a good homemaker, you're a good mother, you're a good business person, you have to prove, women have to prove a lot everywhere. Like even getting a job, you know, like I'm a mom and I also have a job is something like a proof to the society that we are strong. But men are not doing that. Like I'm a dad and I'm a job. I have a job. That's like so weird, right? It's like, of course.
Of course, it's like a gimme. Like, of course you work. Like, that's like not like a thing. Like, it's a presumed assumption, which is fine. It's a good thing. And that's also changing too. Like, some men are also choosing to, you know, want to be a stay-at-home dad, which is fine. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of only been a thing of the last maybe decade where that's becoming more socially acceptable. But even still, it's still assumed that that's still work. Mm-hmm. Like, men don't go around saying hashtag working dad or hashtag stay at home dad. Like that's not a flippin' thing.
Yeah. It's not something they want to brag about. And when you talk to women who that's what they do, they don't have a job past that homemaker, home operations, they often will take it down a notch and like take themselves down by saying, I'm just a stay at home mom. Or
they diminish themselves.
Yeah, they diminish themselves. And that's really, it sucks. And it's sad to see a woman say that and like think that about herself, but it's because that's
lesser than what
society has.
Yeah, that's lesser than.
Oh, it's not that big a deal. She's just a housewife. Like housewives are fucking badass. They do a lot.
Say it proudly. Like, yeah, I feel like women should start saying that. Yeah, I am a stay at home mom. I'm a VP of home operations. I'm a homemaker, and be proud of that, because that's not a small task either.
No,
like
not
to be at home 100% cooking and cleaning and taking care of the children for their every whim is hard work. It is emotionally and like physically like stressful. It's a lot to take on, and like people that you should not diminish that task. that role, that job. It is a job. That is hard work. And it's not lesser than anybody else's job, because they're also giving up, like you said earlier, maybe they're giving up their career, their dreams. Maybe they had big, maybe they went to college and they had a college education and they have a career that they wanted to pursue, but hey, guess what? Like, I'm going to be a mom and that's okay. And to be okay with that, like, that's okay.
Mm-hmm. So that kind of brings me to, I feel like another, like the next part of this question and this topic is, you know, wanting, can you have your career outside of the home? Can you have a career and be a mom and make it all work, make sure your kids are set and everything? So let's talk about that. Cause I know that's what you do right now, Amber, as a mom.
Well, I kind of chose more of like this blend. I kind of see there's like three different sort of blends happening right now. Like you've got career mom who goes to, I don't know, corporate job 9 to 5, right? And she maybe drops her kids off or they drop their kids off at, you know, school, daycare, preschool, whatever that is, go to work all day, come back and pick them up and do the whole nine yards, right? That's like one thing. And then you've got, you know, your VP of home operations, homemaker, that, you know, that's what she does and that's her job. And she stays home and she does activities with the kids and maybe goes to the park and this and that and the library and the pool and whatever she's doing, that role. And then I'm kind of this blend, right? Where I guess I have my own business. I'm a digital design agency, right? And I have a business. So I'm a stay at home, right? I have a home office and I Zoom with my clients or go meet them in person. But then I kind of like flip flop working with my husband on like meeting times throughout the day. And we kind of like pass the baby back and forth, depending on whose work meetings are when, or whatever we got going on as far as like deadlines. And so like, he'll take the baby in the morning right now, or I'm on this podcast, and like, I'll take the baby in the afternoon because, you know, he's got to go do work, some work meetings. And so I'm kind of like this interesting blend between the two, I would say, which is its own little beast.
Yeah. And I think now, especially since 2020 and everything that happened in 2020, so many more people had to start working from home many companies just kept a lot of their employees working from home. Like my sister, she works in a stationery company, and they had a corporate office in Seattle beforehand, and they were all like very much about the like office life. And then 2020 happened, they went remote, and now we're very far past that, but she's working from home all days of the week. She has one day a month where she goes into the office. And that's happening all across the board in all sorts of companies.
Yeah, globally that's happening, which is a cool thing. Like for me, like the pandemic, right, didn't have an impact on me because I've been doing that life already. But for many, like you're saying, like that was a new thing to adjust for many people, men and women, who had to adjust with having kids at home and trying to work. So you now are like, you're the cafeteria and you're the language arts and you're the math teacher.
Yeah, you have to homeschool.
And you're like the Zoom facilitator on top of trying to work and, you know, do lunch and breakfast and dinner and all the other things. So now you're doing it all.
I think it created way more of those people like yourself now who have like that blend where they're working from home and they have their home office or their home nook or whatever, but they also have to figure out, okay, if my kid's going to be home, what do I do with the kid? Like some people had to kind of change their jobs if they had to homeschool their kid for a while. You know, I know you do daycare for one of your kids right now. There's all sorts of different ways that you can do things. It's just about finding the best way that works for you so that you can keep following your dreams with your career, because as a woman or a man, you shouldn't have to just give up all of your goals and dreams of your career and your professional life just because you decided to start a family.
Yeah. I think it's fulfillment. Like some people find like the most heartfelt fulfillment out of being a mom, and they want, it's all they want to do in the world. And that is a beautiful thing. We need those people in the world. Like I love being a mom, but I absolutely fucking love what I do for a living, and I don't want to give that up. So I want to do both. And there's not a right or wrong answer, right? There's not a right or wrong way. Like women shouldn't guilt other women for not being a stay-at-home mom.
Yeah.
And like
mom guilt.
That hashtag mom guilt, because I hate that fucking shit.
Yeah. Well, because they think that you're not giving as much of yourself to your kid as you should if you spend any time away from your kid, which is bullshit.
That's not being a good mom. So that whole, I wrestled with that with my first postpartum of being a good mom, like kind of getting that guilt of like, well, a good mom stays home with their children. I'm like, well, what if I don't? Do I make me a bad mom?
No.
No way.
Well, that's the opposite, right? So people, women guilting other women. Like, how fucking dare you?
Yeah. Telling other women how they should live their life.
Like, just because I'm not a 100% stay at home mom, that makes me a bad mom. Like, go fuck yourself.
Yeah. And not even like 100% stay at home moms can end up becoming someone who's ignorant to their kids. You know, it doesn't matter where you are. It's just the balance that you have in your mind. It's not that you have to give 100% to your career and 0% to your home, and not like 100% to your home and 0% to your career. There should be a blend.
Yeah.
There should be a way. I mean, my mother was always working, employed. She was always employed. And what helped my mom back then was family. Like, my grandparents used to babysit, so she had like pretty chilled with everything. Like, she was chilled to leave the kid with her own parents, so that helped her a lot. And my mother was not like a bit career oriented woman where she's driven to prove herself in the industry, nothing like that. She just wanted a job, you know. It's just a job. She went to university and she has a job. Like, back then, you know, there was nothing big shot glorified career concept. It was, of course, you went to university, now you have to get a job, that kind of simplistic, you know. And then you become a mom. It's like a life goes on, you know,
and contribute to the family financials. Like, that's probably a big reason why she did that.
And also fulfillment, like
having something about you that is more than just your kids. I think that's something really common with a lot of moms, especially the moms that guilt other moms for not being with their kids 100% of the time, is that their entire identity is their kids. And then guess what happens when your kid turns 18? When that kid is out of the house, you have nothing left. You're just,
your
kids are gone. What do I do? What do I do with my life?
Your life is like a blank. There's no meaning to your life anymore. And also there comes the emotional like toxicity with the kid. The kids feel like a guilt, you know, like, okay, she have dedicated her life raising us. Now there is a pull that we have to give back to her. There's like a emotional burden that you carry along, you know?
Yeah.
So there has to be a middle ground for everything.
Oh, for sure. And that thing that's like that mom guilt and like there's also like even mom guilt for like, all right, like I'm gonna go to the spa for a couple of hours, or I'm gonna go get my nails did. Like, a lot of women have felt guilt around even leaving their kids just for a few hours with the dad to go do something for themselves, which is also super sad.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, and they think of their dad as like a babysitter. Like, it's this big favor he's doing for you as a mom who, you know, takes care of your kids. Like, it's like the dad is a parent. He's not a babysitter. It is his job to take care of the kids and be able to do it by himself without you over him and like hoping that he'll do okay.
He made the kid with the women, right? The women did not have the kid alone.
He wouldn't have a kid without him. So it's like, of course he should play an equal role, like in my mind, like an equal role to the home rendering of the children. But a lot of women see it as like this like gracious, like, oh, thank you for watching the kids for a couple hours while I went and did a couple of errands. Like, we should stop that. Like, that's horseshit.
Yeah, because the more you do that, the more they'll think that's the way it should be. They'll think that like, oh, I'm doing her a favor by taking care of the kids or watching the kids one night. It's like, no, that's your job. Just like it's her job, it's your job too.
Yeah, of course you should be able to like, you know, prepare a meal for the kids. Of course you should learn how to do all those things. Like, they're your children too, guys. Like, I don't know how to tell you this, but you did it too. Chose to have children. You can like fucking raise them as well.
Yeah.
It drives me nuts that even women are like, oh, well, thank you, honey, for like watching the kids for a couple hours. Well, damn straight they better. Like, if they get to leave the house all goddamn day to go to work or do whatever they're doing, of course you should have a couple of hours to yourself.
Yeah.
Like, you just worked your ass all day cooking and cleaning and taking care of kids. Like, why the fuck can't you have a couple hours to yourself?
Well, and I think it's important too, like before you have kids or when you're pregnant, like getting ready to have the kids, to communicate with your partner, if assuming the partner is in your life, or communicate right. with whoever is going to tell you or like help you with your kid, if anything, communicating, like, what will this mean? How will we go about raising this kid? Like, are you going to focus more on your career so I can stay home, or can we both focus on our career? Cause you can't just wing it. You can't just hope like, for the best. Like work. You got to have a plan. And that way, if you have a plan going into it, there's not as many like surprises, like, oh, you're just going to go to work and not like help me at all when you come home. Like, make a plan for who is having what role in yeah. the situation. And in
or like that kids. Expectation, not leaving up to the gray area. And that's, you know, even as a project manager, I do that. Like, you don't leave it up to gray area. Like, yeah. it'll just
work don't assume.
No. It's like, mm-hmm. no, you've got your action items. I've got my action items. Like, we know what roles we play for a well-oiled machine, right? Yeah. Like, working and maintaining the home as a well-oiled machine. And it's very good idea to get those sort of kinks worked out, or at least on the table of talking about it before mm-hmm. you decide to have children.
Yeah. yeah. Well, like what something you guys did, you and your husband, Amber, you share your calendars, right? So you both know when the other one has meetings, a podcast, you know, an appointment or something yeah, like that.
I mean, like even like before that though, like, you know, Nolan and I have been working from home together. You know, Nolan's had a stay-at-home job because he's a regional sales rep since 2013, and then I've been home working since 2016. So, you know, we've kind of had this work from home life sort of figured out and worked out
right
well before having children. And then having children was like, yep, we need to share our calendars. We need to know who's got what when, because if we're trying to flip-flop the baby back and forth, we need to have previness to each other's calendars so we can like not double book our meetings, so that way someone can have the baby while the other person's working, and you know who's going to do what throughout the day. But that was kind of something that Nolan and I have worked out a long time ago, as far as like we share all of the chores in the house. There's not a his or her like chores. There's just the chores. And they just
what needs to get done, who has time to do it right now.
Yeah.
Let's make it happen together.
We don't have like in our home like gender roles. Like that's not really a thing. Like I actually really like doing all of like the mowing and the trimming and the hedging and the gardening just as much as I like cooking. And I'm like really OCD about a clean house. So like I do a lot of like different, like there's just the chores, like whoever has time in the day to get them done just does them first. Mm-hmm. Like sometimes Nolan has time, sometimes I have time, and they just get done.
Yeah. Well, like when I was growing up, I had this is one thing that like some women do, and I have like a lot of friends and people I work with who you know, when they decide to have kids, they might put what their career was before, what they went to school with, on hold for a little bit while the kid is young. So my mom, for example, she worked in a Montessori school when I was Montessori school age. So when I was like in kindergarten or whatever, or before kindergarten, she worked in one so that she could be with me, but also make money and not pay extra for a nanny or a babysitter all the time. So that's something that she did. I know some women, like they'll work at a daycare that their kid is at and they'll get a discount or something like that.
And if that's co-op now too for that, like they have there's like co-op preschools for that.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, but one thing that's really cool about your mom is that she also went back to school.
Yes. I was just going to say that. So when I was a little older, and able to like stay quiet and not cry as a baby, she brought me to grad school because she went back to grad school. She got into a really prestigious grad school, Seattle University, and started working towards her master's degree, and she brought me to class with her. And I remember very well being in the back of the class, like with a coloring book or with something before we had iPads, and just chilling while she went after her dreams. And I know for a fact, if I hadn't had that growing up, I of course, she's my mother. I'd always have respect for her, but I have so much more respect for her and women who make their make a wonderful life for their kids, but also work on a wonderful life for themselves, because that means that like she has more to her than just me. Like now she has her own life and she is very far in her career because she started back then instead of, say, waiting until I was out of the house or waiting until, you know, things had calmed down as being a mom. And I was her second child too.
I think that's just showing off being a good, because it's really strong, you know, role model.
Yeah,
right.
Like absolutely
showing young girls that there's more to life than like just being a good role model for young women. Like,
yeah,
she's there's not like that whole mentality of like, yes, you are raised, and yes, maybe you go to college to meet your spouse, and then you know graduate college and you get married, have babies, and then you don't do anything with that college education because you went to college to get a spouse.
Yeah.
Remember that? Like, that was this thing.
That was the people's life cycle.
Like a typical rom-com, right? You go to college, meet someone, get married, and finish.
Yeah, that's it. You're done. You're just a mom now.
The end.
But like, that's all gone away. But it's like, that used to be a thing. Like, that was like a joke for a while. Like, a not so funny joke.
Well, yeah. And for a while, it wasn't even a joke. It was literally like, that was what was expected of young females, is like, you go to school and you marry your high school sweetheart, or you go to school and meet someone, and that like, that's the goal. Your goal is to have kids. Your goal is to procreate, get married and everything. But if you really think about it, like, we're just humans. We're all humans that should be living our own life and focusing on what we really want out of life, what makes us happy. If it doesn't make you happy to do that, you shouldn't feel pressured to do it.
No. And like, there was even that pressure to like marry up, like go to school to find like this like high-end society type, you know, person with high class monies or property or politics or whatever it was. Like, you went to these finishing schools. Like, that was like a fucking thing for a while.
Yeah,
exactly. And you act up all shy and coy and prove him that you will be inside his house taking care of his home, and you're the perfect girl. You show a sign that you're not gonna be that shy little girl, you'll be like rejected.
Yeah, you're supposed to be like prim and proper and like uphold the family legacy. Was like,
bow down.
Yeah, like, I'm gonna
hold
be the
your
legacy.
Skirt and bow down. Exactly, right?
Wow, how far we've come.
We have come very far. And I think a lot of that comes from just like how things, you know, were from the beginning of time. Like, women are meant to like have kids, like they have the ability.
You know, a woman is like, we have a womb. That's the root of our word. Yeah. Woman is because we have a womb, we have a uterus, we have ovaries, like.
Yeah,
that's what, you know, as far, I'm not gonna get into that whole political, but that's like, yes, as far as like, that's what separates a little bit. I mean, obviously women are a lot more than that. I know that, you know that, but if you want to break it down by sex, male, female, we have a womb and we are able to have babies.
You're able to, but you should never be pressured to. And I think that's where we've really evolved, is that now more than ever, this generation, and like, you know, I'm technically a millennial, right? Amber, are you technically a millennial, or you're the next one up?
I don't even know anymore. I'm a kid of the 90s. I don't know. I grew up in the
90s. More and more common to like choose ahead of time, like, I don't want that for my life, or maybe I don't want to like work towards that when I'm still so young and not sure what I want out of life.
Yeah,
but for so long it was
your mind, and it's okay not to have children. If you know you don't want to have children, don't fucking do it.
Yeah, or else you're becoming a bad parent, raising up a bad person, you know.
Oh my god,
a lot of people that shouldn't have kids.
There's lots of people that shouldn't have children.
I know so many like that who shouldn't have kids, but they had it, you know, because of society, because of all the morality.
It's a massive responsibility to raise little people.
Exactly, right? I mean, there will be so much of a clarity in people's life if they were given the choice to have kids. I mean,
you shouldn't feel pressure to have children. If you don't want them, don't have them. Like, they are a like massively crazy responsibility.
Yeah.
And it is not for everybody.
And I have noticed that the resistance, if you tell that you are very, if you don't want to have kids, the resistance comes mostly from women to other women.
Yeah. I know. Like, why do we do this to ourselves?
Your biological clock is ticking, you know? I mean,
like, women do this to each other. Oh, you've got cobwebs in there and you need to like clean them out.
Exactly.
I get told that all the time. I'm someone who has been like open about, I don't want kids ever. And I'm almost 30 right now. And I've thought this way for many years. I've thought this way pretty much since I was 21. So for almost 10 years. And
women will pressure you like, your biological clock will tick and you'll want kids in your, you know, in a little bit.
The worst of all is who's going to take care of you when you're old? That's the worst of everything.
That's what just me and my boyfriend are starting to get people asking us that. Well, who's going to take care of you?
Like, you can do for family holidays.
Myself.
You want family myself. I'm going to do my best. I'm going to set up for a good retirement.
Imagine like how sick it is to just give birth because you want someone to take care of you when you're old.
That's pretty fucking selfish.
That's the only reason you have for me to have kids. Yeah, exactly. Kids are not retirement plan, right? They're human. I know. And what if they don't want to take care of you?
I gave birth to you, so now you got to take care of me when I'm old.
Yeah. It's like I have the absolute authority to you. I ordered that, you know, you're gonna take care of me.
The expectation is like kind of like fuckery.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like, well, if that was the reason I was brought into the world, like I wish I wasn't, you know, like
And in my culture, you know, like in the Indian culture, this is the main reason that people give birth to. And I don't know if I should say maybe that's why the population is so huge.
it's a kind of a beautiful thing too. And some people, you know, it's lovely. If you are like lucky or blessed enough to have like parents by the time you have kids and your parents happen to be retired, it's a beautiful thing that if the grandparents, that's what they want to do is take care of the kids or their grandkids and not have to pay for childcare. It is a beautiful thing. Like generationally, you know, the working age does the work and takes care of both the grandparents and the children as far as fiduciarily. And then also the grandparents take care of the grandchildren, and that's a fiduciary, you know, round robin. All right. And it does work.
It's great to have. For sure.
It's great to have, but not everybody is blessed with parents or grandparents at a retirement age, and that's what they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Not all grandparents want to do that full time.
Yeah, it's like
it's okay.
It ties you down. This kind of culture and this kind of notion, just it's like a jail. You cannot escape it, you know?
Yeah, what happened to living for yourself? Why can't you go live and do what you want to go do? Like that expectation of like the generations of taking care of other generations.
Right. And I don't want to be an old lady who's being taken care of by someone else. You know, I want to be like active and strong.
Yeah, I plan to, you know, continue to travel the world and experience new things and try new things. As long as I got my mind and my body and I'm spry enough, like I fucking plan to keep exploring and adventures and doing the things as long as I can able and willing to do them.
Yeah.
Yes, right.
We only have one life, right? We only have time on this world. We don't always have tomorrow. So,
well, the thing is, too, going back to what Rachel said, like, I too didn't want to have children in my early 20s. Like, F that noise. Like, I had a, you know, troubling childhood in some ways. And so, like, I was like, the thought of having kids, like, I was like, I ain't going to do that shit. And then it wasn't until, I met my life partner and I was like, I can do this now. Like, I think I want to have children.
Partner plays a big role. Your partner, like, he's one of your, like a right hand.
And then you're like, woo, I think I can have kids with him. I want to make babies with this man. Like, that sounds like fun. And like, you know, raising children and mentoring and educating and showing them the things and mentoring them and showing them really cool things and almost like reliving all of the childhood memories, reliving them with your kids again. It's like a very special, lovely thing that I love.
Well, and getting the chance to do better for a kid than what your parents did for you if you had a troubling childhood.
That's true of any generation. Every generation wants the next generation to be able to provide more for the next generation.
Yeah.
Like your parents always want more for you than what they had. It's a very common thing between generations. Every generation you're trying to level up and get more out of life and whether it be wealth or
life lessons,
material things,
values.
So that's just what every generation wants for their children, right? They want more for their children than what they had. That's just a generic common theme.
I think going back to what you said just before that about, you know, you in your early 20s, you didn't want kids. And then you met your life partner, you met Nolan, and now you couldn't imagine not having these two beautiful boys that you have. Yeah. And I'm on the opposite end, early 20s. I like I kind of was more open to the thought of having kids. And I had a couple partners at different times that I thought like, oh yeah, I could maybe see that if this goes somewhere. But then as I grew up, I realized, no, I really don't want that. I was only thinking that because they thought that at the time.
Well, it was pressure.
Like, yeah, it was pressure. And then as I started coming into my own more and learning to make more decisions for myself and be more confident in myself and what I want, I realized that it's actually really something I very much do not want. And that's okay. And I think the takeaway of that I think we could talk more on now is like having an open mind as an adult to like where your life could go and what you have the potential of doing. So like if you're talking to giving any kind of life lesson or something to a young woman in her early 20s, or maybe like, you know, maybe she's in college or high school, even like what would be advice to her when it comes to becoming a mom or not and your career and balancing all of the pressures of society with that?
Yeah, it's like just educating them on all your different options. Like there's not a right or wrong option, ladies or men. Like there's not you don't have to go, you know, when I was younger, there was this pressure to go get a university degree and like go make a 6-figure salary and go be a doctor, a lawyer, all these pressures, right? To be these big high paying jobs. But that's also a piss poor notion, like on parents to have done that to kids in that generation. Like we need everybody from the plumber and the landscaper all the way up, yes, to the doctors and the lawyers. We need everybody in between. Like all jobs are needed.
Yeah.
All roles are needed for a successful society and community. Like there is not a right or wrong. Like what I've spoken to some high school students is about aligning what makes you happy with also the lifestyle that you want. Mm-hmm. But like if you have a dream of like owning a mansion or this or having that, like you've got big material goals, well, then you might need to pick a career that can support that material, those material goals.
Yeah.
It's not just going to happen. You can't just go to school for sociology and then like think you're going to go get like this crazy big paying job. Mm-hmm. The reason I can pick on that one is because my husband happens to get a degree in sociology.
I didn't even know that. That's funny.
That's the only reason why I can make fun of sociology.
Have a bachelor in sociology.
But I'm just saying, that's the only reason why I can make fun of it because my husband went down that then, and like it has nothing to do with sociology. Sales is sort of sociology.
Yeah.
Anyways, I make fun of it because I tease him for it. I love him to death. Okay. Yeah. So moving on. But what I'm trying to say is that like, if you have like these big aspirational goals, well, you need to figure out a job that can support those big aspirational goals. But if your goals are like, no, I want to be an educator. I want to be a social worker. I want to be more humble. And it's not about the things, it's about the fulfillment and the humbleness of the career. I want to be a pastor. I want to be a whatever. Well, then it's not about the money. It's more about the fulfillment. But if you got these big aspirations for a crazy, crazy, like globe-trotting lifestyle, well, then you need to figure out a job that's going to balance both your monetary goals and your lifestyle goals and alignment.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, from this point, I had a bachelor's in sociology. Then I knew I want more. That's why I did a master's in marketing. That's how I shifted my focus because I was so clear in my path, you know, like I know where to go. I mean, I think it's all about clarity.
Clarity, expectations, like getting that all cleared up.
Yeah.
Like if they have that quote of like, whatever, you love what you do, you'll never work a day in your life. Or if you follow your dreams, you know, you'll be successful. Like, yeah.
That was the case.
Like, yeah, it's a little bit more than that. Like maybe some sacrifice, dedication, hard work.
Still gotta pay the bills.
If your dream, like my dad, you know, like when I was like 15, he was like, what do you mean you grow up? And I was like, I want to be an artist. My dad's like, fuck no. Because he didn't want his daughter to be a starving artist. Right. So, that might've been to be really stinking happy to sit in a studio all day and make amazing art. But like not always do artists make a lot of money. So he's like, well, if that's what's going to make you happy, I also don't want you to like be like super poor in a crappy basement apartment somewhere.
Yeah. Or living at home.
That's that generation. Like they always want their kids to have better and more than what they had. Yeah. But then being a kid of the 90s, right, I figured out art on the computer, which is graphic design, and you can make a lot of money doing that. So that's what I do now, which is fine. So both things came together and I figured it out. And now I have lifestyle and a career that match and blend together for what I want to do.
But
you figured that out early on too. Like you figured it out in high school that you wanted to be a graphic designer pretty much. And
I didn't know that was a thing. That's what the funny part.
Once you figured it out, it was a thing. Yeah. For me, like I kind of had a similar high school experience, except I was in acting. I did theater my entire life since I was like old enough to walk, acting, theater, dance, music, whatever. And I wanted to do that for a living. I figured it out when I realized that the people on the show ER that my parents watched when I was like six weren't doctors, they were actors. And so I did that thinking my entire life up until like high school, up until college, that I could do that as my job and I could maybe get famous, maybe make a lot of money, or make, you know, a reasonable amount of money. And then I got my first out of college job in a theater and I made barely enough to scrape by and it sucked. And I saw everyone around me who were in there. I was 20 at the time and everyone around me was like 30s, 40s and older. And they were still kind of living that lifestyle of semi-starving artist. And you had to have like a million other gigs going on if you wanted to not be a starving artist. And I realized that that is just not that fulfilling to me. So I got
hoping and praying you become famous, hoping and praying.
Yeah. Because so much about that industry and any creative industry, when you're thinking like just art,
maybe you'll get noticed.
It comes down to luck and just luck of the draw, how the director was feeling that day when you auditioned. If he was hungry, then he might not have looked at you long enough to realize that you're fucking talented. And that's just the lifestyle of being an actor. And yes, there's obviously very, very talented people who work their asses off and get to where they deserve to be. But there's a lot of talented people who don't get there. And there's non-talented people who do get there. And it sucks to see that the way that that goes.
Not all who you know.
Exactly. And you know, once I grew up a little bit and, you know, met Amber too, I remember a talk early on with Amber when she said like, well, what do you really want out of life? Do you want to keep just like living how you're living? And at the time I was doing personal training and not making much more money than when I was acting. And that's when I went off and got my first corporate job and started learning the, you know, operations, admin, stuff like that, that I do now for Amber Design, fast forward several years. But it was because of that moment and some other moments at the same time of realizing I want more for myself and I have the power to choose how I get it, because I could keep doing this personal training thing, which is fulfilling for me internally, but not necessarily financially. And I could just keep going and keep kind of starving and struggling, or I could take hold of my life and take control and do what I need to do to like get to the next level, to get that mansion or to get that car or the everything that I have now is because I worked for it. Like I moved myself across country all by my fucking self this past year.
You went and got a big girl job with benefits and a you know 401k matching or whatever it was. Like you went and did that yourself. Like
yes. And I grew through that. And now I work for myself and I work for Amber, and it is an amazing, amazing thing to have.
That blend that you've always wanted, but didn't realize you wanted.
I didn't know that I could have it. You know, yeah. I didn't know that I could really make a living being an online fitness coach, which is what I do on the side outside of Amber Design. And now I have this fun blend where I get to put my organizational and operational skills to use with Amber Design. And I get to also be, you know, the online coach that's helping people change their lives. So I get fulfillment internally and financially. And I only have that because I realized I want this, but in a different way. So I have to work for it. And like, I chose everything that I have now. And if you just decide to let other people choose for you your whole life, you're never going to be happy. You're always going to be living for someone else and someone else's agenda. And if you let someone else tell you that you should have kids because you're a woman and you shouldn't work while you have kids, like you shouldn't have a job while you have kids, then you're living for them and you're not living for you. And one day you're going to grow up.
Right?
Yeah. One day you're going to grow up, or you're going to like look back and be like, wow, I could have done so many things differently.
Or they live in regret, right? They live in regret not doing more.
It's like, man, I wish I would have had that, whatever. Like, yeah, there's some moms out there that deep down, like really deep down, wish they had a job, or really deep down, you know,
maybe they passed up an opportunity. Like they could have taken a promotion, but they didn't because they felt guilty, because then they'd be working and their kids wouldn't be with them 24/7.
Right. There's a lot of guilt around that that we still have. And then we guilt women into that.
Something I try to
ourselves, women do it to each other. And that's such bogus.
Yeah, it is. I try to think too, like when I make big decisions or when I work towards something, and I tell like my clients this too, is like, do now what you want to look back at, like 6 months from now, or a year from now, or 5 years from now, and be like, I did that and I don't have any regrets. Like, do that now, because you want to be able to look back and be like, damn, I am a badass. I did all that. And I am like, I chose it. I chose this life for myself.
Yeah. We can choose. Women can choose anything they want to do in life.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Yeah. Just like men, we can choose to do whatever we want.
What we can't choose is how people think about us and what people assume about us, but we don't have control over that. Even if we do try to do everything they want
like
us
that,
to do.
You know, that 1940s, you know, we can do it poster, mm-hmm. right? Like we can do it. Like, just like we did it, you know, 80 years ago, we can do it. Like, we can roll up our sleeves and go work on construction. We can do anything we fucking want to go do. Like, I don't know why that notion is lost. Like that poster, right? Of women can do it. Like, yeah, no duh, we can do it. Like, yeah. You know, if we teach ourselves how to do it, you know, anything is possible. Like, don't, what's it called? Diminish yourself. Like, yeah, like you can learn, you can do it. You got this.
Dream big.
We're capable. So I think that's, you know, just kind of like, yeah, we are women and we work, like, period.
Yes. And who cares about what others are thinking, right? It's their job to think whatever the like hell they
whatever want. Makes them happy. Yeah. You do you and you do you. Whatever, it's not like one way or another, black and white. It is whatever makes you happy, whatever blend that is. That's good for you and your partner or your life. Like, it's all groovy, you guys. Like, you do you. It's not a right or wrong.
Yeah. So I feel like we've touched on a lot of good stuff, and we've, we have a lot in here. So I want to transition a little bit.
Yeah.
Deesha, we are talking about this subject because Amber is going to speak at your upcoming digital agency summit, right? Mm-hmm. In a couple of weeks. So we wanted to kind of give a teaser to the presentation that Amber is going to do for this amazing, huge event. We're going to have like, what, 12,000 attendees, or like a huge number, something like that, right?
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
So tell us more about the summit coming up and just why you asked Amber to come on and talk about this subject.
Well, it's the third year of our summit, the Digital Agency Summit, and this year is focused on more diversified speakers, not only of business, you know, like, of course, there are a lot better events if you really want to learn about all things business, but this is a summit which is going to touch things like working moms. I mean, where else can you get this in a digital agency summits? And yesterday I just came across this social media post where a girl commented, agency mom rocks. You know, it's this line really caught my eyes, you know, like agency moms rocks. Yes, I mean, there is a section of business owners who are agency moms, who have a lot on their plate, who have so many things to teach to the upcoming business owners. Maybe someone somewhere, Amber, listening to you, is playing with her idea of owning her business and who has a newborn. Can you imagine her, the influence of your talk on her life? Yeah. So this is the kind of opportunity. I mean, this is the third year of the summit, but this is my first year organizing it. So I really wanted to make it very diverse and not make it like only about how to increase your sales or something like that kind of agency.
Those are not bad topics, of course. Like, that's what a lot of, you know, business conferences are about. But this is, I think, a very unique topic where it's like, no women, like, you can do it all. Like, it's okay. Yes. We can all be Wonder Women. It's okay.
Yes, exactly. And we do have so many in our community, in the Ethereum community, and also in the, like, the digital agency community, who needs to hear about this, you know? I mean, these are things that should be out there in the space, you know? There should be. Yeah. Even to men. I mean, why only to women? Men should listen to this as well, to open up their pulse.
It's for everybody.
Yeah, exactly, right? I mean, they are also, like, the part of the population. So they
and also their struggle and making the child. I mean, I don't know how to tell you this, but I mean, it takes an egg and a sperm to do it. Like, I don't know. It's how we all got here. I science.
Yes. Exactly.
Well, it's not only going to help, you know, it can train a lot of the things, takeaways can be helpful for men who are, you know, stay at home dads or dads also, who work.
Not right or wrong.
But also for dads of moms who want to, or sorry, dads who are partnered with moms who want to work on their career while raising a family, because
no,
I think.
Not, and we should not, like, belittle men or diminish men who are like, no, actually, I really want to be a dad and I really want to stay home and do all those things as a dad. Yeah. And, like,
that's cool.
We should
too.
Not belittle men in that life choice.
Yeah. So I think this,
wrong.
This subject is going to be good for both yes. sides of the coin, everyone, because it can offer some perspective that maybe not everyone is thinking about.
Yeah, we're kind of breaking those sort of old, like, ancient, we said ancient, but historic centuries and centuries age of traditional gender roles.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Right. And
welcome to the 21st century.
Yeah, and it's going to help clear up the minds of so many people who are so damn confused right now if they should give up their career to do the mothering, and also I know that there is so much of confusion around career and motherhood, you know, like, it's almost like that these two things are not going together. And
I know, and it's crazy because, like, men get to do it. That's not even been a thing. That's not even a conversation. Like,
yeah,
it should take sacrifice on both parents to make it work.
It's a teamwork. Period.
It's teamwork.
It's a teamwork.
Teamwork to make it happen.
One-sided
teamwork to
one person shouldn't have to give up all of the things in order to make the partnership or the family life work. It should be both sacrificing, both people compromising to make it work.
Yes, and I think that the major takeaway from the idea of fighting hashtag working mom is to educate that it's a teamwork, guys. It's to let the people know that it's the working mom is in the limelight because there is no teamwork. It's always seen as, like, one-sided work.
Yeah, the woman has to give up. The woman has to compromise to make it work. And it's not, it's both.
And
both
the over,
parties compromising.
Yeah, exactly. And the over-glorification of a sacrificing mother is so much. It's like, if your mother haven't sacrificed, she's not even a mother, you know?
Yeah, that guilt, right, comes back on you. Oh, you're not a good mom.
Yeah, you have to sacrifice everything you got in order to be a good mom. If you are out partying, you're not a good mother.
You know, but meanwhile, the dad can go out and go have fun with his friends.
Have his guy time, buddy time, game time, or whatever.
And it's like, yeah, because your life is so much harder than mine because I didn't go to a 9-to-5 job. Well, honey, how about you stay home with the kids one day and make that work?
Mm-hmm.
It's fucking hard work.
Yep. Kids are no joke.
So they diminish the woman's role by being a VP of home operations. So that's what their title should be, because to operate and manage, like, the home operations, like, office management of the household is a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I see it. People diminish these roles because the women is not contributing to the economy by doing this kind of work. I mean, it's a world where the labor is not valued if it's not paying, you know, if it's not making money. Like, no one, housewives are a joke.
I said,
right,
like,
now.
Earlier, like, if you were to give an invoice, a weekly invoice,
yeah,
of, like, all the things you did, like, all right, I was a grocery shopper. Well, how much do personal grocery shoppers charge? You know, how much does it charge for a nanny? How much does it charge for, you know, a, was it called? A housekeeper, right? Housekeepers
yeah,
aren't cheap.
Cleaning ladies
aren't cheap. Yeah. Like personal grocery shoppers aren't cheap. Chefs, a home personal chef is not cheap.
So meanwhile, you're expecting one person to do all those things
for all those people.
So it's like, if you were to think about how much it would cost for you to pay a personal chef, a nutritionist, a housekeeper, a nanny, all of these things, those would be pretty expensive personal services that you would have to hire to make the household work.
Yeah.
So if you put that sort of monetary amount to a VP of home operations homemaker, she's contributing quite a bit.
Yeah.
But we don't do that way. We don't think about it that way. And we need to change that mindset. But if we were to hire those personal
free
services
labor.
Out.
Yeah.
Free labor from your wife.
Free labor from your wife. Because if you had to pay for those personal services, those professional personal services of a personal shopper or a nutritionist or a chef.
Exactly right. Taking care of your man child in the form of the husband sometimes.
Yeah, cooking and prepping dinner, taking care of the children, making sure the house is clean. Like, yeah, that's a lot of fucking work, yo. Here's my bill. Pay up.
Well,
that's what more women need to do. Hey, honey, here's my invoice for the week.
Yeah. If you don't want to pay it, let's hire someone so I can get to work.
Well, my thoughts on that.
so glad that we got to talk about this topic. Disha, you were wonderful to have on our podcast. We really enjoyed it. It's been fun. We've only had one other guest on our podcast before. And it's a nice change in the dynamic for sure. Past just me and Amber, but we're really excited for a couple weeks, Amber, to speak at the summit and to see what else the summit has to offer. Disha, why don't you run down how can people register and attend the summit real quick?
We have our sign up page. I don't know how should I put it up here so that.
I'll put the link in the show notes, but if you want to just like briefly run down, like, so someone, they'll go to the website, they'll register for it. Does it cost anything? What does it look like for people?
No, there is no cost. It's a totally free summit, but there are limited number of seats. I mean, there are limited some number of seats for, of course, we want to reach around like 11K, but then it's filling up more than sooner than we expected, right?
Awesome.
And so if we cross that limit, then you have to get the all access pass, and that's when you have to end up paying, you know. Sign up very soon. It's in the you can just go to atarim.io and you can sign up from there. It's totally free sign up, and you'll get access to all the 40 plus speaking sessions happening across 4 days from April 26th to 29th. And I'm sure I'm not going to get the sleep in these days.
Probably not.
It's all running in this Eastern Standard Time, and we are in Europe.
Yeah, so that's gonna be tough. But we're excited for everything you guys are putting on together. Will people be able to, if they register, will they be able to access the recordings afterwards, or should they watch it live?
The event is live, but if someone wants the access, then you have to buy the pass.
Excellent. Okay.
After the event. Yeah.
Perfect. Well, I will put all of the notes and information down in the show notes. You can also follow Atarim on Instagram at atarim.io.
Mm-hmm.
You can follow us, Amber Design. Twitter at Awesome Amber Design on Instagram, Twitter, like everywhere you can find us. We do this podcast on everywhere you listen to podcasts, as well as YouTube too. And since this is all about Amber speaking at this event, if you are interested in having Amber speak to your group, your team, sales team, class, whatever it is,
university.
University, she does it all. And she has a lot of different topics that she can talk about, from marketing, sales, to, being a boss lady like you are.
How to be an entrepreneur. Empowerment of women, not being a victim. I have lots of different topics.
Yeah. So we'll all have a link for that on how to get in touch with us for speaking events as well. So,
my speaking session is on April 27th at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And for our time zone, 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time.
Yes. So tune in to watch Amber talk more about this. She's going to have a great presentation, and I'm sure there'll be a number of other amazing presenters on other subjects too. So we're excited to see it all. All right. Well, thank you everyone for listening. If you listen on a platform that offers reviews or ratings, please give us a review. Tell us what you think. And if you want to hear other subjects, please let us know. We have a couple more podcasts we've already recorded coming up soon, but this one will release before the event happens. Hopefully you enjoyed this podcast and you're enjoying Amber Energy. We will catch you on the next one. Bye.